नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्याय नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तेर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड वर्शिपिंग गोवर्धन हिल। तस्मात् संपूजये कर्म स्वभाव स्थ स्वकर्म क्रे अंजसा येन वर्तेत त एव अस्य हि दैवतम्। तस्मा संपूजये कर्म स्वभावस्थ स्वकर्मक्रे अंजसा येन वर्तेत तदेवास्य हि दैवतम्। तस्मा संपूजयेत् कर्म स्वभावस्थ स्वकर्मक्रे अंजसा येन वर्तेत तदेवास्य हि दैवता। तस्मा संपूजये कर्म स्वभावस्थ स्वकर्मक्रे अंजसा येन वर्तेत तदेवास्य हि दैवता। माताजी
తస్మాత్ దేర్ఫోర్ సంపూజయే. వన్ షుడ్ ఫుల్లీ వర్షిప్. కర్మ ఇస్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాక్టివిటీ. స్వభావ ఇన్ ద పొజిషన్ కరస్పాండింగ్ టు హిస్ ఓన్ కండిషన్ నేచర్. స్త రిమైనింగ్ స్వకర్మ హిజ్ ఓన్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ డ్యూటీ. కృత్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్. అంజసా విథౌట్ డిఫికల్టీ. ఏనా బై విచ్. వర్తేత వన్ లివ్స్. తత్ దాట్. ఏవ సర్టన్లీ. అస్య హిస్ హీ ఇండీడ్. దైవతం వర్షిపబిలిటీ. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బై ది డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్సీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ పోపట్ ఆల్సో. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ దేర్ ఫోర్ వన్ షుడ్ సీరియస్లీ వర్షిప్ వర్క్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. అ పర్సన్ షుడ్ రిమైన్ ఇన్ ద పొజిషన్ కరస్పాండింగ్ టు హిస్ నేచర్ and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. Purport. Lord Krishna here proposes the modern, if absurd, philosophy that our work or occupation is really God and that we should therefore simply worship our work. Upon close scrutiny, we observe that our work is nothing more than an interaction of the material body with the material nature. As Lord Krishna himself states in a more serious mood in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 328, text, Guna Guneshu Vartananta. Karma Mimamsa philosophy accepts that good activity in this life will give us a better next life. If this is true, there must be some type of conscious soul different from the body. And if that is the case, why should transcendental soul worship the interaction of the temporary body with material nature? If the words sampujaye karma here mean that one should worship the laws of karma governing our activities, then one may astutely ask what it means to worship laws, and indeed, what might be the origin of such laws and who is maintaining them? To say that laws have created or are maintaining the world is a meaningless proposition, since there is nothing about the nature of a law that indicates it could generate existential situation it is supposed to govern. In fact, worship is meant for Krishna himself, and this real conclusion will be clearly revealed in this chapter.
ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురోన్మీలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగరు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగరోన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపాం సాగరజాతాం సహగణారఘునాథన్వితాం తం సచీవం సాద్వైతం సవదూతం పరిజనాసైతం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం. శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణాలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతి గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ. So here we continue on with the instruction of Lord Krishna to the Brajvasis, and apparently seems that he is now teaching the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, that work is worship. As would appear in this world, everyone is doing the same. You ask anyone, what are you doing? I am doing my work, because that's the way I worship that what I do. Nobody wants to understand the nature. Nobody wants to be spiritual. Nobody wants to surrender. They are only interested in just performing their duties. And if you ask them why, they'll say, oh yes, you know, this is my karma or this is my dharma also. I just have to do this work. And I am taking care of my family, I am taking care of my occupation very nicely, I don't harm others, and I am a good human being, you know. And you see that people who are following this particular way of life, they appear to be very successful also, from the material point of view. But then, if you see, where is the destination, where do they go? If you ask them, okay, you are doing this work, but then what is your goal of life? What are you going to achieve after this? For that there is no answer. So here, Lord Krishna is, through one act of his, in this particular lila, he is trying to do many things. He is actually wanting to humiliate Indra, maybe teach him a lesson, as once his Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu was mentioned in his class, an address. What is the role of the Lord? What does the Lord do? You know, once the king asked his minister, what is the job of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So the minister did not have any answer. So as he was pensive, he was just thinking, he said, give me some time. And then he happens to meet a young boy. He says, the boy is asking, what happened to you? He says, the king asked me a very, very challenging question, something which I really do not know. He says, what is the job of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He says, very simple. He says, so please tell me, the minister said. He says, no, you take me to the king, I'll tell him. I want to tell him directly. So the king takes him, the minister takes him to the court of the king, and then he's brought in front of the king. And he says, okay, please, now you tell him. So the king asks the boy, he says, tell me, what does the Lord do? What is his daily activity? So the boy says, first you come down, I want to sit on your throne and then I'll answer to you. So the king becomes little disturbed and also angry also. Who can order me like that? But then he says, if you want to know the answer, then you have to come down. So the king has to, because he wants to know the answer. He wants to know what is Lord's daily activity. So then the boy sits on his throne and he tells the king that this is what he does. So king doesn't understand what he says. This is what he does. That those who are in higher position, he brings them down. Those who are lower, he brings them up. That's what the Lord does. That means somebody who is very proud, the Lord, what he does, he just makes them humble. And somebody who is very humble, he just puts them on a pedestal. So that's what the Lord does actually. So Krishna here wanted to teach Indra a lesson, and because of which he just wanted to forbid the residents of Vrindavan, instead of worshipping the demigod, he wanted to worship them to worship Govardhan. And through this, you know, many things Krishna fulfills, which you may see in the later verses in this particular chapter. Very wonderful chapter, you know, where Krishna enjoys being with his devotees under the Govardhan hill. The difference between Indra and Brahma is that Brahma actually separated his associates from Krishna, but here Krishna actually, through this Leela, actually got all the residents of Vrindavan under one place. And not do not for one day, for 7 days and seven nights. So you can imagine, you know, what sort of a wonderful association that particular thing will. Today happens to be the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and time is very less, but I'll just try to speak on his life for my purification. And I thank the management here for allowing me to speak on this day, because since I had to speak, I had to read about him, and because I read so many things, I came to know so many things about him, and some things have been made to understand and appreciate his contribution to this particular society. So when we were supposed to have a third child, I did not want to have it, but then, you know, my wife wanted to, so we went to meet His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. So Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying, so what, you should have. He said, my parents had three. He said, Prabhupada had three. So there's no problem you to have three. And then said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 10. So the, you know, it was very humorous. But then I just was, when I was reading yesterday, I was just thinking that this personality is such a hope going for all, at least especially the grahasthas like us, because we can identify with such a personality. Why? Because when you read through his life, we realize that, you know, so many things are there which any householder goes through, you know, and can understand what is been happening. If you see the earlier life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was not very easy for him. Like, he was born in a very aristocratic family in Bengal. But it is said that, you know, over a period of time, you know, so much of trials and tribulations that he had to undergo, it was not very easy for him. Things were not very easy. I was just thinking that, you know, being born in aristocratic family, that means like things will remain like this forever. Like, you know, you will remain rich forever and ever and ever. But as I was going through the pages, I was seeing that how the, you know, money completely vanished. To the extent that, you know, like he was saying that for his marriage, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was mentioning, for his marriage, they had to buy a loan from somebody. You know? And they didn't have money. He had to actually work. His paternal grandfather was a, you know, very rich person. His maternal grandfather had so much of property. And so much of property in Olagram. That means that, you know, he would just that, you know, whenever there would be any puja, worship, it would be in like grand. Nothing that, you know, would be in a very small scale. Everything would be very grand. And nobody would fall sick. Regularly there will be like, you know, people would be, there will be a person or Ayurvedacharya who would be making medicines, and people would be just having them whenever there's anything problems. And anytime anyone had any problem, financial problem, they would approach his grandfather and they would be supplied with those, whatever requirements were there. So, but then here we find that, you know, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, during his childhood times, we find that he had such a difficult phase of life. There are times when he had to go to the college, he had to be actually helped by his uncle, you know, to take him to Calcutta and then make him study. That was the hardship that he had to undergo. And not only that, from the family side also, like, you know, one by one, they were sent to a place called as Krishnanagar, where they were studying. And there, his elder brother had some food poisoning. He developed cholera, could not survive, left his body. He had two elder brothers, two younger ones. And after some time, his two younger ones also died. And he and his only sister was surviving. His father died when he was small. Then his mother and grandmother, grandmother was, paternal grandmother was surviving. But because he had to earn something for a living, because he got married at the age of 12, he had to actually go out of the place to make an earning. What sort of hardship it was, actually, you can understand that. You know? Means when you see it through his, you understand that, you know, like we may say that he is eternal associate, but he is living a life like any one of us. And at any time, make us understand and realize that, you know, things will not be the same in our life. There can be ups and downs, and we have to be prepared for it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, during his childhood life, he had this particular situation where things were not very smooth. Not very smooth. He was born. It is said that he was born with a silver spoon in the mouth. That means everything was available for him. But then later on he had to struggle. He had to actually take a job, you know, of a teacher in a college, in a school. Then later on, he wanted to try out whether he can do the accountancy job. He did a job of accountancy. But then he realized that, you know, the merchant for whom he was working, when he would order the sack of, you know, grain or sugar once, it seems, he also got some 1 kilo of sugar for him as a, you know, like, you can say, additional thing, which we, in our words, we call it as a bribe. You know, which, otherwise you say goodwill, you just get something out of it. So he did not like it. He said, this is something cheating. So when this was told to his merchant, the merchant said, I think you are not fit for becoming accountant. You just go back and become a teacher, you know. Because you cannot survive like that. You cannot survive like that. Because in this world, if you have to survive, then you have to do all these things. You have to do all these things. That's why I like sometimes teaching is a noble profession, you know. Just teach. But then when you have to enter into some business, you have to do all these things. Like Prabhupada says, you know, a businessman says, for you I don't earn anything. I don't make any profit. But everyone makes profit. You go to a vegetable vendor and you say, oh, why so much? You know, 20 rupees ka saap sirf, you know, 1 rupee milta hai isme. Why will anyone do for 1 rupee? That means if he sells like this 20 times, he'll get 20 rupees in a day. Which is not the truth. Right? Somebody earns a lot, he makes good money, that's why he's doing his business. Otherwise, why will he do a business? Right? That's why it becomes a responsibility of a grihastha that he gives part of his profit as donation to temple, because you may incur so much of karma by accumulating so many things, by saying something, by telling a lie. You know, but you have to say it. Once His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj was mentioning that, you know, Krishna Chandrabhu cannot advertise that ours are the worst. No, he cannot be humble like that. He has to say, mine is the best. Everyone is the best. Like, you have to say that. You have to sell your products. Otherwise, you cannot. It's the age of advertisements. You have to package. You know, I had a friend of mine, you know, who is very good in his work, but he was not very good in delivery. You know, so he started his practice. But he could not just, you know, convey. He could not sell his goods properly. And ultimately he went into loss. So now he's working as a, you know, lecturer in a college. He's of course a professor, definitely. But he says, I'm happy with it. Because there you could not. You know, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like that. He just could not do that job. So then ultimately he had to again come back, you know. And what sort of hardship he had to undergo? He had to undergo hardship in the sense, he was working as a clerk, beginning. Then later on, by the help of his friend, then he got a job to become a deputy, you know, magistrate. He studied, worked hard definitely. And ultimately then, you know, he came in contact and became a magistrate in the court. But then it was not very smooth sailing for him. It was really a very tough thing, you know. So, thing for all of us to understand that life is not very smooth. Life has so many ups and downs, actually. And second thing for grihasthas like us, you know, one thing what he taught us is to how to organize a life. As once His Grace Gauram Prabhu, when we asked him question, he said, what one should do in grihasthas life? He said, you have to, you know, like it's like throwing the balls in the air. You know, sometimes the jugglers, you juggle the balls. You have only two hands, but you have four balls. You just go on. You know, that's the way the grihasthas have to do. You have family on one side, you have profession on one side, you have some other responsibilities on the other side. So many responsibilities that you have to. And you have to please. Social responsibilities are there. Somebody feels bad if you don't go for a marriage. Somebody feels bad if you don't go for their, you know, housewarming. So many things you need to do it. You can't just say, I can't. You know, because you sometimes need them. And it also sends a bad example also sometimes. You know, you become very hard-hearted also. Appears like that also. So many things you have to do it. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was one person who scheduled his life so nicely. He scheduled his life perfectly. Like he would sleep at a fixed time, get up at a fixed time, you know. And then as soon as he gets up in the morning, then he would finish his chanting. Then he would read. Then afterwards he would just do some correspondence. Then in the morning between say 7:30 and 8:30 he would meet people, visitors. So he did not neglect that particular aspect, you know. He met people. He met the visitors. Then he had his little breakfast and then he went for work. And then afterwards coming back again, same thing. He just would have something. He would just do what his writings, whatever is had to be done. And then read and then go back to sleep at a particular time. That was his daily schedule without fail. You know. And that's the reason why he was appreciated by the British government. In fact, he was living at a time when the Britishers were there ruling the country. The Britishers appreciated this. And what about his efficiency in work? He was so efficient. He was so efficient that what others would take some hours to solve a case, he would take only 5 minutes to solve a case. Just 5 minutes. And whatever decision he would give, the affected party would accept it. Why? Because of his straightforwardness. He never cheated. He was thorough in his job. Perfectly and completely absorbed in what he was doing. And then when you would understand the case, just give that verdict, decision, and the decision was accepted by them. So you can imagine how much load was taken off from the government at that time. That, you know, in 1 hour, that means 60 cases. If he's there for 4 hours, that means almost about 250 cases are solved within the first session. And then again the afternoon session. Which is something quite unheard of. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a person who was so focused, not only in his organization but also in his own occupation, that he would just be so focused that he would just completely solve the cases very efficiently in such a short time. And because of which, you know, even now also we find that there's a rail track going from his house to Krishnanagar. He would just go to Krishnanagar, and there was a special rail track with a train going just for him to take him from his house to his office, because he was so important for them. Once His Holiness Ramaswamy Maharaj was mentioning that when you work in a profession, you should be quick, but you should be efficient. You know, like quick and efficient. That's the thing he was actually mentioning. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like that. You know, so this is one thing that at least I can learn from this. His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu was giving a seminar on time management. You know, and he said the most successful people are people who manage time very efficiently. Somebody manage time very efficiently, they are the most successful people. And he said, you give an appointment to them at 9 o'clock, they'll be there at 8:55. They'll be there 5 minutes before. Then he quoted some of the people names, and he says they are the persons who are always the most successful people. You know, like that. And he gave a very nice example. He said that, you know, that if you have an appointment at 9 and if you reach at 9:10, then everything after that, you know, is, you know, increases. In a sense, you have a time crunch, you have a problem with time, and becomes more and more complicated. Like a traffic jam. You know, you leave at 7 o'clock in the morning, and if you want to go towards the suburbs, then reach in about half an hour's time. You go a little late, then you find that many cars from other sides also, they come from different places. They also join you. Then it takes that much longer time to reach. You reach little later, you start little later, then you reach. You know, it's not that, you know, if you leave at 7 o'clock, and if you suppose reach at in 15 minutes, not that you leave, if you leave at 7:30, you'll reach again in 15 minutes. If you leave at 7:30, you'll reach at 8. But if you leave at 8, you'll reach at 9. And if you leave at 9, then you'll reach at 11. It's like that. And this is what I realized, that if I'm late by 10 minutes, then the next, because it's a half an hour appointment, you know, the 9 o'clock appointment, if I'm late by 10 minutes, then the 9:30 appointment I take at 9:50. The 9:50 appointment, the 10 o'clock appointment I have to take at 10:30. The 10:30 appointment I have to take at 11:30. It happens like that. But then if you are well on time, if you start on time, I realize that I come out of the clinic on time. You know, and I have to put it into practice. I'm not doing that so much, but then I have to do that. But I realize that whenever I do it, I am always on time. If I come on time, then I go back on time also, like that. But then this is what he actually taught for us, for everyone also, as a sadhaka. And what about his contribution to the society? You know, something amazing. So many contributions. We will not be able to speak about so many, but then at least some of the contributions that I can always think of and then maybe highlight, and which was very inspiring for me specifically. Number one is his deep attachment to hearing and chanting the holy names. Like when he was small, he said that, you know, he's not interested in so much in playing. But the soldiers, you know, like not soldiers, I'm saying the gatekeepers of his grandfather, because grandfather had a huge place and he had a lot of people working for him. And he would hear from the gatekeeper's mouth Ramayana and Mahabharata, you know. It said that when he was staying in Krishnanagar studying, that time a neighbor was an oil merchant, and he would regularly recite him stories from Mahabharata, and he would be very much interested in hearing, especially Bhima's stories. And from Ramayana, he would be very much interested in hearing about Hanuman crossing over Lanka. So that is what he would mention. But then he would regularly be attached. He was attached to hearing Ramayana and Srimad Bhagavatam. So that seed was sown even when he was very small. We should imagine the situation at that time. You know, the situation at that time was people had forgotten. Britishers had invaded the country. They were trying to annex more and more. The complete teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnava was you know, completely like hidden. Nobody knew. Chaitra Charitamrita never existed at that time. During the few people who were practicing, living the life, and it was in hands of very few people whom you had no approach to them. So, and at the same time, what was happening was just completely perverted. Though so many upper sampradayas at that time were existing, under the guise of, you know, or under the name of saying that they are preaching Gaudiya Vaishnava, so many upper sampradayas were coming, which were concocting the real true Vaishnava philosophy. And what is happening is that, you know, many people are getting attracted because it was all hodgepodge. Everything was a mixture at that time. Sergius mentality was very much predominant during that time. So, during this situation, it's difficult for someone to just, you know, understand the Vaishnava philosophy, everything. That's why I said Gaura Shakti Swarupai. He's the person who actually revived the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. That's also called as Seventh Goswami. But you can see at that time, you know, following all this so difficult. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was completely absorbed in this. And not only that, he came to know how by taking shelter of the names of the Lord, one can ward off the ghosts. You know? Like once he wanted to eat the star apples, it's mentioned in the book. But then he was told that to go to star apple to get in the jungle, it's very difficult because there are ghosts in the jungle. But then he heard from a mother of one of his friends that if you chant the name of Ram, then the ghost will not come. So, he would always chant the name of Ram and would find that the ghosts don't, you know, bother him. And then he became convinced that if I chant the names of the Lord, then the ghosts don't, you know, bother. This particular samskar was imbibed when he was a child. And also at the same time, he had so many other spiritual guides, Dvijendranath Thakur and others, who really regularly just, you know, brief me about the spiritual aspects. But deep in his heart, he was, you know, trying to look out for that, the pure philosophy, which was hidden, till when he was in a place called as Dinajpur, you know, where there is one very, very exalted dude, is called Kamal Lochan. He was a Vaishnava. And when he was discussing with him, and that time he came to know about the glories of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He read that book. He got the book for Chaitanya Charitamrita for the first time. And when he read it first time, he developed faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he read for a second time, he just understood that there is no one as profound, or no philosophy as profound philosophy as what he has propagated. But somehow or the other, what disturbed him was, like, you know, how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I accept him as supreme, but how is it that he is propagating this particular aspect of Lord Krishna's, you know, activities of rasa dance and other things and gopis? He could not understand that. So he was begging for the mercy of the Lord that please let me be revealed the true aspect. And then the whole thing was revealed to him. The innermost secrets of the teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavism was revealed to him. And when it was revealed, it said that he became naturally attracted to it. He became, you know, like so naturally and spontaneously attracted that he developed love, spontaneous love for the Lord. And then he wrote a particular book called as Sachidananda Prema Alankara. Sachidananda Prema Alankara, that's from where he got his name as, you know, Sachidananda Namine. So when he says Pranam Mantra, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine, Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuka Varayate. And from there was no turning back. He was a scholar right from the childhood. He studied everything, the Western philosophy also. But then when he caught hold of this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he understood that there's nothing greater than this. And then he developed so much of liking for this, he started preaching this particular glories of Lord Chaitanya to each and everyone. So much so that when he went to Puri, you know, he was transferred to Puri. When he came to Puri, he actually went visiting different places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually stayed, like Gambira. He went to place of Haridas Thakur Siddha Bakul. He went to Haridas Thakur Samadhi. And after going to Haridas Thakur Samadhi, he composed this 10 verses, the poem, of which one of the verses is most prominent. He reasons ill, who say Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still in sound. Vaishnavas live to die while living, will spread the holy name around. So that's still inscribed in the tomb of Haridas Thakur. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually wrote over there. And when he was visiting the temple of Jagannath Puri, he was so much like, you know, remembering that what can be the spiritual emotion of Lord Chaitanya. And was experiencing all these things. See, on one hand he was doing a duty of a magistrate. He was deputed to be staying there to see that things go in proper order, the worship at the Jagannath temple, punctuality is maintained. So he established that. At the same time, he was also revealing the mood of, you know, like experiencing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually has been doing there. And from there, there's no going back. It is said that, you know, he had a lot of problems. When he was in Jaipur, his wife gave birth to a son, but his wife died. The father also died. But he left to another place called Champaran. And then afterwards there, it is said that there was a very powerful ghost, Brahma Daitya. And it seems that, you know, he was in a banyan tree and he would influence sometimes the magistrates to, you know, like change the decisions on the side of the bandits, the robbers, you know. So sometimes the lawyers would go and they would fight for a case, but then he would just enter into them and then change the decision in favor of the bandits. And when this came into the attention of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he just made a Brahmin would approach him for something, he just came, he just made a Brahmin sit under that tree and recite Bhagavatam for a month. After a month, when Bhagavatam was recited, the Brahma ghost left from that place. And indication was that the trunk broke. And then, when this, the local villagers saw, they all developed faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. They all started taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. You understand? So, everyone started wondering, oh, this is the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. So everyone started reading Srimad Bhagavatam and taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam at that time. And then we all know the famous incident of Bhishikeshin. This also happened in Puri. Just imagine, you know, like, if in this world Bhishikeshin would have been there, he would have been one of those, you know, gurus. Maybe much more than them. Maybe he would have taken all by storm, the whole city and the state and the country also probably. Perform miracles like anything. No, he would just cure a person instantly. Any problem anybody had, cure them. Straight. And he could read the mind of anyone. He knew the past. He knew everything about him and what he's going to do also. Just imagine. And he was saying, I am Mahavishnu. I have come here in this world just to drive the British out of this country. That's my purpose. Just imagine, if you would have heard this also, you would have said, yes, yes, good, good, we should support him, right? Probably if it had been in a, you would have been standing for elections, we would have voted him to power. Because Britishers were ruling at that time. And he said, I would like to drive over the Britishers from here. But see the mentality of Bhaktivinoda Thakur here, like, you know, he was not concerned about the British demand, but he was just thinking this person is a rogue. He is not an incarnation. See, the mention is not mentioned of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, attachment to Britishers going out or being thrown out of the country. He was against Bhishikeshin for the fact that because he was claiming himself to be God. He was claiming to be Mahavishnu and he had Brahma and Shiva also with him. He had two people, Brahma and Shiva also with him. They were also staying with them. They were Brahma and they were Shiva. And he would perform so many miracles. So many people would come, take darshan. But a British government knew that only Ravenshaw knew that only Bhaktivinoda Thakur can put him to book. Only he can arrest. He can really confront Pishikeshan. So he was chosen to do that particular job. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went in the middle of the night. So he asked him, he said, "Oh, I know you are a magistrate." He named his name also. And he said, "You are so and so." Everything he said. So he asked him, why have you come here? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked him, he says, "Who are you?" He says, "I am so and so. Don't you know that I am Mahavishnu? I have come here to drive the British." He says, "If you are Mahavishnu, then why are you staying in the jungle? Why are you not in the temple in Jagannath Mandir? You should be in Jagannath Mandir. Why are you staying here?" And then he just sat there to see what all he is doing. And then he got 100 police to catch him. Bhishikesh said, "You cannot do that to me. If you do this, your entire family will be destroyed." Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Just catch him." He was held. He was taken away. There was so much of protest at that time. Of course, some of the people were very upset because under the pretext of performing rasa, he was engaging in illicit affairs with some of the women. So some of the people, sects were very against Bhishikeshan also. But the most of them were with him. And when the trials took place in the court, he said, "You see, your whole family will be destroyed." And that's what was happening. His wife fell sick. Daughter was completely ill to the extent that probably she would not live like that. On the 10th day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually had chest pain. He was not able to get up from his bed. And that is the day when the next day he was supposed to give a verdict in the court. And, you know, just imagine, everyone was saying, his wife was saying, "Just leave him, forget about him, why are you doing this?" You know? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur stuck to his decision. And then when he went to the court, he somehow the chest pain little bit became less. He was actually taken on a stretcher basically to the court. And there he gave his verdict that you are going to be behind bars for imprisoned lifetime. And there it said that Bhishikeshan at that time said, "You see now your whole family will be destroyed now." With that vengeance, when he was going out, there was one officer who knew that many times these yogis, they have the power in their hair. And he had long hair, with matted hair also. So while he was going out of the court, he just went and he cut off his hair. And he cut off his hair, he became completely, you know, without any strength, he just fell down on the ground. And everyone shocked to see that. And he said that Bhishikeshan, over a period of time in the prison, he just took poison and committed suicide. But this particular story is just to tell that how much faith that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had in the scripture and did not waver also. How can anybody say that he is God? You know, he told Bhishikesh that no living entity can become Vishnu. You cannot. But he was claiming him to Mahavishnu, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to teach him a lesson. He did not, you know, waver from that particular responsibility. So that was a very, very important thing that, you know, which all of us should understand also. Many times when we become little disturbed, we just think that we should take shelter of something else. But what is needed is that we should take more shelter of the Shastra and the holy name. That is what is very important. As far as my understanding, that if I don't have sufficient faith in the Shastra, then I may be tempted to take shelter of something else. So better I take shelter of the Shastra and have faith in the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and also faith in the holy name. That is what we are supposed to do. If you don't have that implicit faith, then our mind will try to get attached or attracted to something else. No? Because this is material world, anything can happen. We will be tested at every moment of life. Another contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you all know, revealer of Shridham Mayapur, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. You know, at that time, everyone thinking that Lord Chaitanya's birthplace is in Navadvip, on the western side of the Ganges. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace was, no one was very clear where is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, Yogapit. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew from the Shastra that is not actual birthplace, which everyone was mentioning, that birthplace is somewhere else. So as he was meditating while he was in Godrum, he just saw far off, you know, there's a light emanating from that place. He called his son also, and his son also saw. And then he said, I should find out. He went to that place and he saw so many tulsi grown in that area. And being there and experiencing a spiritual vibration, he could understand that this may be the place of Lord Chaitanya. But what is the proof? Then he realized that only one person can say that whether it is a place, actual place or not. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was a pure-hearted soul staying in Navadvip, whom Bhaktivinoda Thakur had taken Shiksha from him. He said, this person, when he is brought here, he will tell us whether this place is Lord Chaitanya's birthplace or not. That time, he was more than 100 years old. He was almost about 130 or 120 years old. He had to be got in a basket by his servant. And the moment he was brought in that place, as he was kept down, he started jumping. Yeitu nimaya janmabhumi, yeitu nitaya janmabhumi, nimaya janmabhumi. So as he was shouting, he was jumping so high that his soul was also seen by people. That is, so high he was jumping. And that time, it was proclaimed by everyone. Everyone understood that this is the place of Lord Chaitanya's birth. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur established that birthplace. He made a nice place. We all know how he went to Calcutta. He collected one rupee from each of the residents over there. He said, just give me 1 rupee as a contribution. And collected a contribution and then built his place. And we all owe a lot to him, because the actual Lord Chaitanya's birthplace was revealed by him to all of us. And is still there over there for all of us to take shelter of and, you know, get complete inspiration from that place. So this was what his contribution was. And another contribution was his books. You know, so many books that he has written. There is journal regularly, Sajjana Toshini, which he was writing. And unlimited literatures. That's why it is said that, you know, through these literatures, he was able to re-establish the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava movement here. Whole thing was revived just through this teachings, you know, and through various aspects. Like it said that when he revealed this dham, he wrote Sri Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. That's when he wrote Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. And then Sajjan Toshini was writing, and so many Sri Nam and so many others. I don't remember those names, but then there are hundreds of literatures, you know, glorifying the Gaudiya Vaishnava doctrines and the philosophy. And when people took shelter of this, then they understood that the rich culture, the richness of this particular philosophy. And then this was later on taken up over by his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he actually prayed for him. While he was in Puri, he actually prayed that, please give me one of a race as my son who can take forward this movement. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was that son of his who actually took this forward, and he established 64 mathas. He preached to far and wide people from all backgrounds. And then by his instructions, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he took this message all over the world actually. And now each and everyone, you know, knows this. Prabhupada made this available to each one of us in such a simple language. Anyone can understand, anyone can follow without any confusion. You don't have to go to any other book also. You don't take shelter of any other books. Just read this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and our life will be perfect. That's what Srila Prabhupada did for all of us. In fact, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying. He says, when will that come? When the English, the French, the Russians, the Prussians will come, will take the kartas, the mridangas, and chant on the streets, in their streets. You know, he was also praying that, you know, when they come, when will they come here? But at the same time, even there also, in their own place. And that time when he was thinking, nobody would imagine how can it be possible. Prithviche ache age nagaradigram sarvatar prachara hoibe moranam. So everyone thinking that it will be only Nagar means in India only. It will not be many. When Bhakti Saraswati Thakur established 64 mathas, and when he gave the instruction of Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Vinod Swami Prabhupada, that you go to the West and preach in the English language, till that time also nobody knew how it will happen. It's only after when Prabhupada went and started preaching, and it became like explosion, the Hare Krishna explosion. And all over the place, within 11 years, the whole thing spread like wildfire. Now each and every town, you know, we have people who are chanting, who at least know what is Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they are reading and following in their lives. So this was his contribution actually. He said, you know, a day will come when Senapati will come and then preach the glories all over the world. But he never knew who was that till Prabhupada came actually. So this was his contribution actually. And of course all of us know that how when he wrote this in 1896, he wrote this, his life and precepts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and precepts in 1897. This was the first book which went outside India. Went to Canada. Canada, right? I think Canada, I suppose. Outside. And that same year, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada appeared. So it's not a coincidence, perfect arrangement. You know, there's a prediction come true that it will come. And then Bhaktivedanta Thakur wrote so many bhajans for us, like Geetavali, then what else? Kalpataru, Sharanagati. So many bhajans, you know, revealing his actual mood. When we read this book, read these bhajans, it's so sweet. You know. And one thing which is very inspiring, especially for me, is this bhajan called Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu, where he's showing that how he's so attached to the association of devotees. See, we all need each other's association. So he is actually revealing through that how he is attached to the association of Vaishnavas. Says Gaura Amara Sange, Gaura Amara E Sanga Sanga Sane Karolo Brahmana Range Gaura Amara E Sab Sane Kaha. He said that, what is it? Gaura Amara Ye Chapastane Karolo Brahmana Range Se Sabastane Herubo Ami Pranaya Bhakati Sange Se Sabastane Herubo Ami Pranaya Bhakati Sange. He says, I would like to visit all the holy places where the Lord has performed his pastimes in the
association of Vaishnavas. Of course, you know, all these verses are glorifying the association with Vaishnavas. But this is one thing, like, you know, he said that Gaura Amara Jesabasthane Karula Brahmana Rangi. Se Sabasthana Heribo Ami Pranaya Bhakata Sangai. It's very nice that, you know, whenever you go to any place, if you go on your own, probably what will you know? But when you go with Vaishnavas, we go with devotees, when we hear about the wonderful activities from the mouths of those devotees, then we understand the importance of those places. Like that, so many things. You know, that he has read and sung the bhajans. O Vaishnava Thakura, Dayara Sagarahi, Ebarak. So many things. Amito Kangala Krishna Krishna Bole Dhaitava Pache Pache. Amito Kangala, I am poor. You have Krishna se tomara Krishna dite paro, tomara shakti ache. You have that power. Amito Kangala Krishna Krishna Bole Dhaitava Pache Pache. So this is what his mood is, you know. And we can only pray on this particular day of his appearance that we get inspired by his wonderful activities and we become focused on our goal of life and not get wavered from our path of pure devotional service, and we always remain in the association of Vaishnavas pursuing our goal. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patient listening. I'm sure that so many others may have so many other things to say. And afternoon there is a festival. Bhajans.